This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're on That Sports Show, Joy 94.9, with your host Mal and co-host Stu. It's your first time in the chair.
I'm in the panel seat and yes. It's wonderful. So let me introduce the show. You're on That Sports Show with Mike. With
That's your boyfriend. That's not me.
With Mal and Stu. And we're very excited with what we've got to present. Stu, a lot of sports.
We have got a lot tonight. We, of course, talking Olympics, because guess what? 30 days to go to Rio, Stu. I'm excited.
Are
you?
I can't believe it's a month. We're going to be counting the days down.
Oh, I know. And so's Kitty. Kitty Chiller, our chef de mission.
More from her later.
Yes. And tonight we're also going to talk track and field, hockey, swimming, shooting, netball, cycling, soccer, and your new favourite, roller derby.
Roller derby, and I'm also going to talk quickly about basketball, new edition.
Oh,
new
okay.
News.
If we've got time, yes.
But why don't we talk about who got the position, incredibly important position, as Australia's flag bearer?
Yes. Well, the early favourite and the one that got the gig was, of course, Anna Mears. Now, she's 32 years old. She's Australia's sprint queen of the cycling velodrome, and she's going to her, is it fourth Olympics? And she has got the honours. Normally, they don't announce until much closer to the games, but she got it. She beat off Jamie Dwyer, the hockey player, Kate Campbell, the swimmer, Jared Talent, the walker, your favourite, and Kim Brennan. Do you know what sport she plays?
She's a rower.
Correct. And formerly Kim Crow.
That's right. And I don't think Kate Campbell, even though she's the world record holder now, I don't think it would be appropriate to give such a young person that honour.
It is her third Olympics.
Yeah, Jared had medalled in the last two of the last three games, but I think Anna Mears was the standout.
Oh, when you look at it. She deserved it, Stuart.
It's 12 years since she won her first Olympic gold in the 500-metre time trial in Athens. Mm. She overcame a broken neck to claim silver in the sprint in Beijing in 2008 and then won gold in London in 2012, in addition to her 11 world titles.
I know, she's amazing. So congratulations to Anna Mears. We here at Joy 94.9, That Sports Show, we're behind you, Anna. Go, Anna!
Go, Anna.
It sounds like a solid rock.
An Australian reptile. That's right.
Now, Stu, also in more Olympic news, Alana Boyd has broken the national pole vault record, and she has surged into the running for medals in Rio.
Yes.
She broke her personal best, which was the Australian record, by 4 centimetres, and now she's up at 481.
Yeah, she
4 metres, 81 centimetres.
It's very good, but I have to say, can we just get this into perspective?
Mm.
The world record has been broken many, many times by the amazing Russian athlete
Yelena Isinbayeva.
That's right, but
we don't like her because she's homophobic.
Also, unfortunately, she won't be in the games because there is no Russian track and field team.
That's right. But at Wimbledon this week, Svetlana Kuznetsova said the clean ones, if they can prove it, they should be allowed to go.
Well, what Isinbayeva has been saying is that the whole team shouldn't be blamed for the behaviour of some. She says, I really hope this will be positively sorted out. I deserve it. It's my right. All of our young, talented, clean athletes deserve it too. If they miss Rio, 4 years is a long time. She says, I hope to see you in Rio, but if the decision goes against us, which it now has, I will personally file a discrimination case at the Court of Human Rights.
Well, see what happens there. Now, that's pole vault.
Yes.
And Australian Selma Kajan has run a PB of 2:01, and she's in contention for the 800 metres. She ran that time in Barcelona recently, so look out.
But that doesn't get anywhere near Charlene Rendina's record of 1:58.
You need to get under 2 minutes to be up there. But we'll see what happens. Now, Stuart, we've got some other news. The biggest star at the games is Usain Bolt.
Yes.
Now, he didn't compete in the trials in Jamaica. And so Johan Blake, the double silver medalist in the Olympics behind Usain Bolt, he won the sprint double, the 100 and the 200. So behind him were Nicol Ashmead and Julian Fort. Now,
what
you
sort
said,
of times are they doing?
Well, slower than him. But Fort could be in trouble because, of course, the Jamaican Athletics Selection Committee will meet on Thursday to pick a team, and they will decide whether Usain Bolt will replace Fort.
What's just so startling is the depth of sprint quality in Jamaica.
Yes.
They're just such a world leader now. I mean, he finished second to Bolt at the London 2012 Olympics.
Johan.
19.44.
And that's under 20 seconds, so that's pretty good.
And the 100 he did 9.95
and still didn't win. Now, in the women's 200 final at the Jamaican trials, Simone Facey beat two-time Olympic champion
Veronica Campbell-Brown.
I know, she's related to me.
She's your double hyphen.
That's right. And then the 100 metres was missing Olympic champion Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and Elaine Thompson. So interesting. And Stephanie Ann McPherson returned the sixth fastest time in the world this year in the 400 metres. I love the Jamaicans. They all have hyphenated names.
And they've got a women's 100 metre hurdler world champion, Danielle Williams. So they really are incredibly
I know, it's amazing.
Sport.
Anyway, so go Jamaica and let's hope Usain gets there and gets the chance to win the 100 and the 200 double again. Now, one of my favourite sports, Stuart, is hockey. I used to play. You used to play. Now, Anna Flanagan has been overlooked for the Olympic team
for
hockey.
This is a controversy because we don't know why she wasn't selected, because she's a great player and she insisted herself that the Hockey Roos weren't pressured into overlooking her after her drink driving charge.
Because she got charged and convicted and went to court and has a ban, whatever, but she didn't tell the hockey officials and the Australian Olympic Committee. And that omission, lying by omission, she said her lawyers advised her to do that, was not good enough. And so what has been said is she is actually a reserve and she will go to Rio, but she's not in the squad. But someone might injure themselves and she could get put back in the squad. So my view is that she did the wrong thing, but I want the Hockey Roos to win. So hopefully they have the best team on the park and that they are mentally prepared for gold, because that's the wording today, mentally prepared.
I think broadening out from that particular issue, though,
yes,
is just how strict the Australian team under Chef de Mission Kitty Chiller has been on athlete behaviour. We've had Nick Kyrgios go, we've had shooter Michael Diamond banned from selection, which is our next story.
Yes.
It's really interesting about how they're trying to introduce standards into the Australian
team. Well, I
team.
Like that. You know, you're representing your country and you have to behave, and if you've got a criminal record or you're a misbehaver like the tennis players, well, you shouldn't be there. Now, that's right, our next story is Michael Diamond has been ruled ineligible for the Rio Olympics by the Australian Olympic Committee on the recommendation from Shooting Australia. So he won't be going to his seventh Olympics, but instead Mitchell Isles, 17-year-old, who's the grandson of Bill Isles, a former Olympic and world class shooter, is now in the team. Now, he actually qualified with the better shooting scores, but was overlooked for Diamond, and he appealed to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. But now, with Diamond being ruled out, he's going anyway. And I saw a story of him on the television, and he's good. I watched him. He was so good, and his grandfather's his coach, and they're good together. So good luck to Mitchell and bad luck for Michael
Diamond.
Yeah,
just one final word for Michael Diamond, because this might be the end of his Olympic career after so many games and so much success.
He's only 40-something too.
Yeah, I suppose in shooting you probably can keep going at the top level. But what the Shooting Australia Chief Executive Damien Marangan said was, the incident involving Michael has, in our view, put our sport in a position which is inappropriate. And when looking at the AOC's selection and nomination criteria, it was clear to us that Michael was ineligible to be nominated.
Right. Okay. Now, Stuart, netball.
Oh, I love netball. Melbourne Vixens. Go, Melbourne.
Tell me all about it, or do you want me to say?
Look, there's a conference system for the finals, which I do not understand, because there's a conference involving Australia and a conference involving New Zealand.
Well, it's not involving the finals. It's the whole season. Previously, they used to just play each other twice, but then with money, travelling between Perth and New Zealand was getting a bit much. So you play the Australian teams twice, but you only play the New Zealand teams once. And they have a conference ladder. All the New Zealand teams, one conference, Australia, the other conference. And the Queensland Firebirds topped the ladder in Australia. Now, the Melbourne Vixens and the New South Wales Swifts will be playing each other as second and third for the right to play the Queensland Firebirds. Now, whoever wins plays Queensland, and then after that match, Queensland and whoever, New South Wales or Victoria, the winner plays the New Zealand loser, and the loser plays the New Zealand winner in the semis, and then the two winners of the semis play off in the final. Now, it's possible for both Australian teams to play in the final.
Yes.
Yeah.
After all that, yes.
I know. I know. But Netball Australia is breaking away from the New Zealand experiment because generally the Australian teams are much better.
Right.
And they're finding that the standard is, it's pulling them back.
Yeah. What's happened to Irene van Dijk? She's not playing.
She's retired.
Okay. Well, because she's certainly lifted the New Zealand standard.
Well, the strong team in New Zealand called the Southern Steel, based in Invercargill, in very early years of this competition, they ever won a match, and all of a sudden they're the best team. Anyway, yeah. Talk to me about the next story, Stuart.
We skipped over the swimming.
Nearly swore on air. Yes, the very big story this week, and I was so excited I sent you a text of it, didn't I?
You did. Kate Campbell.
Yeah, Kate Campbell set a world record in the 100 metres freestyle in Brisbane in a farewell meet of 52.06. She broke the 7-year-old record of Germany's Britta Steffen, which she had held in one of those, what were they, fast suits they were called? And so this is the first world record that's been broken in the non-fast suit.
Yeah.
But it puts Kate in gold medal favouritism for the Rio Olympics. I can't believe I nearly missed Kate. She's my sister. No, she's not. She's much younger than me.
I think it
really, and much taller.
It really shows how good she is to be able to break the world record in the in the post-fast suit era.
Yes.
Now, the Tour de France has started.
Yes, Stuart.
Now, we had a stage in Cherbourg, and Australian Richie Porte lost a lot of time in the second stage after suffering a puncture in the finale. Porte, who's a podium contender or was before this incident, suffered a puncture in the finale and lost 1 minute 45. Also, Spaniard Alberto Contador's Tour chances took a knock on Sunday as he lost time to the big favourites also, crashing for the second time in 2 days during the second stage, which was won by his teammate and the world champion Peter Sagan. So the Slovak Sagan perfectly timed his effort in the final climb to pip France's Julien, I'll pronounce this one, Alaphilippe from the Quickstep team.
Show me that one. Let me see if I can pronounce it.
Alaphilippe.
Oh, that's a long one. Alaphilippe.
And also Spain's Alejandro Valverde from the Movistar team to take the overall leader's yellow jersey. But the favourites have not really come into contention yet.
It's still early stages.
Chris Froome, Quintana, Valverde, Nibali, and of course Contador, who's already there.
Yeah, and poor old Richie Porte, he's too far out of it now. Now, Stuart, also the biggest thing that's going on in Europe is the European Soccer Championships.
Yes, Euro 2016.
That's right. And they started with 24. They are now down to 4.
Yeah.
Portugal beat Poland 5-3 on penalties after it was 1-1 in full time, starring Cristiano Ronaldo, the world's top paid sports person.
Right, so they're in the semis. Who are they up against in the
They're
semi?
Playing against Wales, who beat one of the favourites, Belgium, 3-1.
That's a surprise.
Well, Wales are tipped maybe to upset Portugal and make the final. Then Germany beat Italy 6-5 on penalties.
That was an amazing match.
After 1-1 at full time. And then the biggest underdogs in the whole tournament, Iceland, lost 5-2 to France.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on penalties.
And they've now returned to Reykjavik, and I saw they did an amazing Viking clapping thing with
all of the
population of the island. It was phenomenal.
Well, that's right. And this is something that is more chicks talking footy than us, but the commentators have been saying if Iceland, with a population of 300,000, can have a team in the Euro Championships and making the quarters, why can't Tasmania have an AFL team with 500,000 people? Anyway, that's for chicks talking footy to talk about. Fiona and the crew at 8:30.
They don't talk about soccer. They talk about footy.
No, but I was segueing to Tasmania having an AFL team. So that's for Fiona and the gang to talk about at chicks talking footy here on Joy 94.9. Now, Stuart, there's one more thing to talk about before we talk tennis with...
Oh, roller derby.
Dimitri Giannakopoulos.
Yes.
Now, you tell us a bit about roller derby.
I will. Now, men's roller derby, it's not just for women, it's for men as well. So men's roller derby heats up in one of the biggest events of the year. It's going to be in the Melbourne suburb of of Preston. National level roller derby in Melbourne next month. I'm going to call it derby, not derby. And let me just keep going there. As the all-male roller derby team, the Victorian Vanguard take on Brisbane's men's team, the heavy-hitting Brisbane Skartel. So following this, the internationally ranked Wizards of Oz, which is a women's team, will compete to come up against the number two ranked women's derby team in the world, which are the VRDL All-Stars. So we've got men's roller derby, women's as well, in Preston, and that will be... when is that competition?
It's coming up soon.
Next month, in later in July.
You're going to become our real roller derby expert, Stuart. Yes,
I do like it.
It is derby, not derby.
Yeah, and I remember the film Rollerball, which is one of my favourite sort of sci-fi films.
Fantastic.
From my youth.
Now, we'll talk to Demetra Janakopoulos of the Ace Girls about what's been happening with Wimbledon, and we will have the highlights for the Australians and the upsets and what's coming up this week.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
We've got Demetra Janakopoulos on the line. Are you there with us, Demetra?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, very good. Glad to see you there.
Now, Demetra, are you actually in London or are you in Melbourne?
Look, I haven't been lucky enough to go to London, but, you know, we've got the cold weather here. I'm looking at kind of summer London when watching the tennis.
Yes.
So, look, I can always imagine.
Mm. Now, have you watched much of the tennis, Demetra, on Channel 7?
Trying as much as possible. I mean, it's a real treat to have tennis available. But, oh, boy, that time zone really plays havoc with a little thing called going to work the next day.
That's right.
But it is a joy.
Now, Demetra, let's get a quick update from you. Firstly, about the Aussie women. Tell us how they went.
Well, look, we had Samantha Stosur, our own Grand Slam champion, who, you know, was knocked out in the second round. But, look, she came up against Sabine Lisicki, who, look, she was unseeded, but she's a dangerous player. She's a good player.
Yes, very good on grass.
That was unfortunate. Yeah, that was unfortunate. And we had Daria Gavrilova, who similarly got knocked out in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done their bit. They've flown the flag, and look, speaking of flying the flag, they're actually going to represent Australia in the Olympics, which was also an announcement that came out just before Wimbledon. So
that's right, singles, and they will team together in the doubles. Now,
yeah.
Demetra, what about the Aussie boys?
Well, haven't we been hearing a lot about two of the Aussie boys? But as an overview, actually, it was a pretty good contingent from the guys.
Mm.
We had Luke Saville, who went out early. We had Jordan Thompson, who I think is a junior champion, and he went out in the first round.
Mm.
Matthew Barton raised a few eyebrows. He did well, but he was defeated by Eisner, who's a pretty solid American player, ranked 18. So Matthew Barton was a surprise in Wimbledon this year.
He did well, Demetra, in that it was just tiebreaks. So he did well against someone ranked 18 when he's ranked in the 200s or something.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And John Millman also went out in the third round, but of course he got knocked out by Andy Murray. So
he got centre court, though.
Yeah, he's Malcolm's favourite Australian male player.
Yeah, he's my favourite Aussie player. He's a battler and he's done well. Now,
me too. I think after the summer he did really well and he's continued to be fairly consistent and fairly solid. We know that's the mark of a really good tennis player.
Now the two big names, Tomic and Kyrgios, tell us how they've gone.
Well, Tomic and Kyrgios, well, they certainly got deep into the tournament.
Yep.
And look, you can never be sure of anything in tennis. But it is expected that they will go deep in these tournaments.
Mm.
They are the stars of Australian tennis.
Yeah.
Very interesting with Kyrgios. He just got beaten by Murray, as we know, because it really is causing a lot of great tennis players, you know, John McEnroe amongst them, who is really wondering what's going on. And listening to Kyrgios post-match and... Well, it sounded like an autopsy, didn't it? Where he was very forthcoming.
They're not passed
in
out.
Analysis, yeah, of what happened. You know, why it all went wrong. So, very interesting. You know, watching this and he's been very honest, isn't he, about what's going on with what's going on in his head.
Mm. So look, he had a, I think he was absent during the match, even though he was on the court. So they both made the fourth round, which was pretty good. Now, the biggest upset of the tournament was, of course, Novak Djokovic losing in the third round to big serving American Sam Querrey. Big shock. Yeah. I was shocked. Were you shocked?
I was shocked. Mm. And questions. There haven't come across much trying to explain what went wrong. I came across a very obscure reference, funnily enough, generated by some offhand comment by John Alexander, an Australian player, now MP, federal MP.
Yes.
There was an article written in The Guardian, I think, which talked about, you know, is Djokovic's serve slowing down? Is there something going on there? But it was quite an obscure reference. I haven't heard anyone else talking about it. So who knows? Who knows what's going on with Djokovic?
Well, I heard that he wasn't feeling well. And when I looked, because I actually was watching something and then I turned the telly to the tennis and I turned right on Match Point. It was just by accident. And I looked at him and he looked very gaunt. I actually think he was too thin. He may have been sick and had no energy. But, of course, when you're up against a big server like that, they just whack down aces and you can't break their serve. So anyway, that was him. Now, what about the rest of the men? We're up to where? The quarterfinals for the men there tonight?
We're in the quarterfinals, which is today.
Yep.
So the quarterfinals. And wonderful, wonderful array of players. Obviously, Federer is there and his eyes must have really opened wide up when Djokovic was knocked out. Mm-hmm. So Federer will meet Marin Cilic.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk that Cilic could well beat Federer, and Cilic beat Federer in the 2014 US Open.
Yeah.
Cilic took out the US Open that year.
Yeah.
We've got Raonic meeting Sam Querrey, and okay, all right, I'll admit it. I'm totally biased. I love Milos Raonic.
You do. And look, if he gets through that one, he could give the Cilic or the Federer winner a real good run for their money. He'd probably beat them both.
Absolutely. I think people were surprised. He had a really tough match against a player called Goffin. But nonetheless, look, it'll be great to see him. He's knocking on the door of the finals.
Mm.
He's nearly there. Of course, Murray's playing Tsonga, and I think Murray's going to win.
Yes.
Well,
Tsonga will be exhausted after that five set with Isner. It was, what, 18-16 or something?
I'm all behind Joe Wilfred in that match. Yeah. I think he's going to do well.
No, he'll be too tired. When they play a long match like that, the next match they get thrashed. And what was the last quarterfinal there, Demetra?
Burdich and Poole, who's, excuse me, I'm probably mispronouncing the Frenchman's surname, but he's a newbie. He's a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
He actually beat Tomic in 5 sets to make his way to the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Look, they're not expecting him to go any deeper than that. It'd be surprised if he does beat Burdich, because Burdich is a very consistent player who has made the quarters all this year, so
yes,
doing well. But nonetheless, you know, it's fun to see new players bobbing up.
That's right.
So that's where we're at. It's a very exciting.
Now, your very favourite part of the tournament is the ladies' singles, and we're down to the semi-finals, and I think you've got a favourite in the semis already. I bet you it's who I think it is before you even say. Is she from Germany?
Well, she's from Germany.
Yes. What's her name?
Angelique Kerber.
That's right.
who won the Australian Open in a stunning style this year.
Hmm.
She's very interesting, and this is the amazing thing with tennis. Anything can happen with tennis.
Mm.
And look, certainly Angelique Kerber, she had an astounding start to the year, to say the least.
Yes.
Really dipped for the French Open, but in having a really great tournament, she's the only one of the semi-finalists who hasn't dropped a set, so she's gone through without losing a set.
Yep.
She had a really amazing match against Simona Halep, who's a very fine player, who's ranked number 5. So, and so did really well. She's talking good talk. She's saying, I'm feeling the same way I felt in the Australian Open. I'm not feeling the pressure. Very interesting in that she's going to play Venus Williams, which is the other amazing story of this tournament.
Yeah.
Venus Williams is 36 years old. She has been unwell. She's had something that has affected her stamina and her fatigue. fatigue. And for her to now make it to the semi-finals, which is, I think, the first time since 2009, is quite amazing. So it's really great to see. And she's a beautiful grass court player. She's a beautiful player.
Now, the other semi, we've only got a few seconds to go, so tell us who's in the other semi.
Serena Williams. Oh, my God, she's looking so awesome.
Yes.
She's talking the talk. She's got the real swagger in her talk now.
Yes.
So she smashed Kuznetsova in her most recent match. So, I think Serena will take it out.
Mm.
Playing Elena Vesnina,
yes.
Who's a Russian, who's 30 years old. But, you know, Serena's 32, so, hey. She had a good match against Sibulkova. I don't think she can beat Serena, but, you know, great that she's there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually, just briefly, I watched the match that Sibulkova had before that, and it was match of the tournament with Radwanska, went about 10-8 in the third. It was an amazing three-hour match, and that's why Sibulkova was tired, and Vesnina beat her. But Vesnina's got nothing to lose, but Serena, I think, she wants to go all the way, and she wants to get that 22 Grand Slams to tie Steffi Graf.
That's right.
Now, Demetra, thank you for joining us and giving us an update on Wimbledon. I'll be glued to the telly on the weekend for the finals, and I'm sure you will too.
Demetra's our correspondent to the Grand Slam, so thank you very much again.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Demetra.
See ya.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of our show, Malcolm. But just to wrap, we've had a great program of hearing about Anna Mears being the new Australian team flag bearer for the Rio Olympics. We've heard about athletics, including sprints, middle distance and pole vault.
Yes.
Kate Campbell's world record in the swimming. We've had some cycling news from the start of the Tour de France. Roller derby, that very exciting event coming up for men's
derby.
Women's roller derby.
Yeah,
sorry,
thanks.
In Preston. not Reservoir. It's
Reservoir.
Preston. Yes. it's been a great show of sport.
That's right. And a quick hello to Prue, who's listening for the second time on That Sports Show.
You're on That Sports Show on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.